What we've got is the link. Honestly, I don't know. I've gotten to the point where, having listened to these various consultants that we listen to and pay, incidentally, on occasion, and having been involved just a bit with the Lake Warmont situation, I honestly consider that the improvement of our lakes to be an art as opposed to a science at this stage of the game. I have yet to hear any real successes that have lasted. On the Big Lake, it's a terrible problem, Joe, because there's no flushing rate. One tiny little sucker brook, one tiny little inlet, really. Another little bitty one over on the other side. And the big rush of water in our lake comes from wells, from
springs.
Yeah, springs. That's why it's so cold in spots.
Yeah.
Yeah. From springs. But the springs don't have any flushing rate for the kind that we're talking about. And that's why it's so hard to get results with these different approaches that have been tried and used. I don't know, really. We've got to get back at it. And we may have to change the fishery as it's conceived right now. The state thinks it's the best lake in the state, you know, for general fishing purposes, and particularly for trout, because it's so deep. But the trouble is those big deep holes down the lake don't have any oxygen in them any longer. So there's been some talk. There was one meeting at which the lake people, the state people, amazed me by saying, well, look, you know, instead of putting speckled trout in there, we'll put brown trout in there, or some different type of game fish. Well, I was amazed. I was amazed. In fact, I could hardly speak because I've been listening for so long to all the things that we ought to be doing that we couldn't do or shouldn't do. But we're going to have to try something else than we've been trying. And just what it's going to be is I hope some young people who come along who are really interested in this. So it takes more time, this fishery thing, takes more time than anybody who's working, I kind of am still working, can give to it, you know. And the people who are willing to give it a whack are so hard to get together. But the lake is certainly one of the Salisbury Association's biggest gambits, as it were. The association, you know, has, you of course are aware of our Appalachian Trail donation, and that's worked out very nicely. Did I mention to you before that L.L. Bean, you know, the purveyor of sporting goods and a wonderful company, incidentally. L.L. Bean, any time that any local organization, such as the Salisbury Association, wants to give the Appalachian Trail some money, let's say $50,000, they will add one-third to that as a gift. They do this for anyone who will help the Appalachian Trail with capital gifts.
They ought to announce that in their many catalogs.
I think I've seen it a couple of times. The Salisbury Association gave the Appalachian Trail $72,000, and then another five, I guess, and about $80,000 all total. And L.L. Bean gave a third. So our gift immediately was over $100,000.
Does the Salisbury Association maintain or help maintain what new people call the walking path, in other words, the old railroad tracks?
This last year, you know, those ponds in behind the walking path, well, some of these people who were looking for land decided that they could break down those old dams in there and flush out that swamp, which is really a wildlife refuge, as you know, and put some houses in there. And so we got into the act as a vehicle, which the Salisbury Association has been on many occasions. We got a whole group together, and quite a few local people helped out in connection with that, particularly people whose land was threatened a little bit by this type of thing. And the association donated a certain amount of money. I've forgotten how much, $7,000 or $8,000. And then the other people all got together, and we gave money to the Salisbury Association so tax exemption could be achieved. We got enough money together to buy the swamp and to put an end to it. And that's why we really have been involved there in this last year.
Yes, I noticed there's a new road going in behind the old Warner House, or it's in.
Yeah.
And there must be a new house back in there.
Back in there. Mm-hmm. That's not in those grants. Mm-hmm. But those are the kinds of things you can do right away, you see.
Stop it before it starts.
That's right. And the town might be very willing or able to help out in some of these situations. But it takes forever. It's a government agency, and you have so darn many things that you have to do. Did you know that over there in that property that we're putting up the housing for the young people?
Charlie Ashman. Ashman?
Ashman's
whole property.
Yeah,
property.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. We found out that we could not go ahead because of a state regulation that said that any land of that particular type, which was going to be used for public purposes, had to be examined to make sure that there were no ancient artifacts or what have you in the grounds surrounding that property or where the old house was and so forth. And it cost us, I think, about $2,400 to have this group over in Litchfield or someplace over here, you know, the group that are so involved with Indian artifacts.
Oh, that's a Hotchkiss graduate.
Yeah,
the Indian Museum in Washington.
That's right,
yes.
Washington, Connecticut,
yes.
You're right. Well, they came over.
Yes, what do they do? How do you examine?
You're asking a very good question, and I'm going to keep my Irish at some sort of decent level, all right? Because we agreed to pay the $3,400. What they did was to dig around the old house a little bit, but they had to have, in order to give us a clean bill of health, they had to have trenches all across the property. Well, they had no method to make them put them in the trenches, so we simply sent a three-bottom plow we had over here with a tractor over there and dug up the whole property. And they had little boys going around, running around, looking at the ditches.
Did they find anything?
Not a thing. Somebody claimed that over near the house, they found some, I've forgotten the term, but it's when they make the arrowheads, they grind them a little bit, you know, with another arrowhead or something, and the dust comes off, and they claim they found some of that, but we got the people in Hartford who were fairly broad-minded to say, forget it. But that delayed us a couple, 3 months, having that job done.
How did that law get into being? Is it a state law?
Yes,
or
a state law.
State?
It's a state law. And you have to have this work done by a registered archaeologist.
Well, now, how do they say which land has to be examined? I mean, for instance, suppose you wanted to put a house where the pasture is now.
I think, Jody, where the what?
Where your pasture is.
Oh, I think for just a house, there would be no problem. This is for public purposes, you see.
What?
You know, we had to advertise in all the papers all around us here to make sure that no farmer wanted to farm that land, because if a farmer wanted to farm it, we couldn't get it for this purpose. I mean, it's fabulous.
How do you remain calm?
Well, you don't. I mean, obviously, particularly when you've got a little Irish in, you know. I'm just boiling out anyway. It's all done now, and hopefully it's all done. And what happens next is a good question in this house, just like what happens next on the lake, you know. I think we have about come to our limit in connection with obtaining land under conservation easements.
You think you have?
I think we've come to about the end on conservation business. You could talk about the Salisbury Association all week, you know, because there's so many different aspects that are going on now. We're trying to, Jody, we're going to have to put out a better brochure, or else put out a couple a year, because it's hard to get people to read the darn things. If they come to a meeting, they say we're amazed at what the association does.
Could you have it perhaps a report once in a while in the journal?
Yeah, I think we'd probably have to pay for it. I don't know, because the present owner may be cut out a little bit different stamp than Bob Estabrook, but that might be a very good approach, even if we did have to pay for it to some extent.
I don't think enough people are aware of the Salisbury Association, other than in the vague. I know when I call people about doing these interviews,
yes.
I start out with that. I say, oh yeah, I guess so. I guess I've heard of it.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think
sure.
they have any idea of the good things it does.
Oh, that's correct. They don't. And we send out 700 or 800 appeals every year. They don't read them, you know. At any rate, we're going to have to do something more about that. The Holly Williams House is another problem.
I wish it were in Salisbury.
Yes. I tell you what we're going to do, I think, though. Bill Olson has been heading up a committee to try to see if we had some possibilities in connection with the old house. And I think the committee's view, a correct one, is that the Holly Williams House indeed is of great value to the Salisbury Association, even though we don't use it, because it represents an asset worth $300,000-$400,000 at least today, with the land up above it and so forth. So we're going to keep it going until we can think of some really brilliant use for it in the future. And one of the things we're going to do is start to use it for a lot of our memorabilia, just to store it, make it available for people to look at there and whatnot. But it's a controversial issue.
Yes, I am well aware of that. Yes. We were talking earlier during this interview about the inns. Remember, you were talking about the Wake Robin and
yes.
used to come. When you were a boy, was it quite a different scene in the summer?
Oh, yes. Well, I say yes and no. The biggest difference were the summer hotels. And there was the Interlaken and the Gateway. Remember the Gateway?
Yes, I do. Right
and
now,
the Wake Robin and the two in Salisbury, at least.
Mm-hmm.
And they all, of course, Wake Robin, you knew they had some golf, there's 5 or 6 holes of golf up there.
Where?
At the Wake Robin.
They did?
They did indeed. I've forgotten the exact number, but I can sure remember them. They went back up in the woods. Do you know where the old Jerome house was?
Yeah, I do indeed, yes. That was related to Winston Churchill's mother, that Jerome
that's
family.
That's right. That's right.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Well, we used to walk up through those woods, and well up toward the Jerome house, it was still Aunt Jane's property. And there's a little house, if you drive up to the Wake Robin today, you look up to the right, just before you get to the inn, there's a house up on top
mm-hmm.
of the little knob
mm-hmm.
there. And that was the clubhouse. Now, of course, as you and I know, that this was back during Prohibition, and they had a bar in there. And they went out and played a few holes of golf and go into the bar. It was fascinating. That White House, nice White House, as you go past, coming up this way, you go past the Wake Robin's entrance.
Yeah.
This nice White House on the left, that was always called the Little Wake Robin. And it was an annex for the Wake Robin.
Oh.
And I remember staying there. But that was a typical old summer hotel. People came with their big steamer trunks and would stay a month or whatever.
So that golf course didn't go near what used to be Petey Robinson's, Debbie Robinson's family, which is now owned by John Burden, who's at Hotchkiss. That's right on Wells Hill Road, so that golf course went behind that.
Behind it, in the woods.
And back,
right.
Yes.
Right.
Does the Wake Robins still own that land?
I think they sold almost all of that off.
Well, what's in there? I think they're just woods in
there. I went down the other day to see, we're going to have a mob as usual for Thanksgiving, and I went down to see whether or not they have their restaurant open, because it's thought it'd be so fun.
Sure.
Well, they haven't got it open yet, but they do have rooms available. And we got talking, and I think they said they were down to about 12 acres or something like that. And that would take it back a few hundred feet into the woods or a little bit more. But they sold off that lake property.
They didn't.
And that was the worst thing. I mean, I can't imagine.
They what?
You know, the
they
property.
Sold it?
Yeah, they sold it. Not the present owner, the previous owner.
Yeah. To whom? For what?
I don't know. We used to go out and swim it.
Of course.
All the time. And it was good swimming. You know? Terrible, isn't it?
Stupid.
Sure. Money. Mm-hmm. I've never seen anything. We got a little place in Maine, and we've got about, this is on Blue Hill Bay, we got about 7 acres of land there and about 300 feet on the water on a nice cove, and we paid practically nothing for it, you know? I think we paid $11,000 or something like that for the 7 acres. And now, of course, and just a small cottage, 2 bedrooms, and a living room and a kitchen. Really, all it is, with a deck and whatnot. We had our little sailboat there. And then a little guest house we put in a couple of years ago for all the grandchildren that wanted to show up. And I don't think we've got possibly over $100,000 in the whole thing. I don't know what night it is. It's ridiculous to even think about what you can get for it.
It's water.
Sure. And it's crazy. It's just plain crazy. The stock in the paint company, it's not worth anything. Like we have a formula that's tied to the market and other aspects. And we change the price, keeping with the formula every month. Jody, I tell you, it's simply not worth half of what the price is, which is followed the market, obviously. Mm-hmm. Crazy.
Yeah.
Just crazy. And it's going to go busto one of these days. And that won't be any fun either. I was working during the Depression. 35 cents an hour, you know.
Is there anything else you want to talk about this area? Anything else you have in mind?
What do you think? Do you think of anything? We talked briefly about the iron industry, but there have been all kinds of books written about the iron industry.
What we wanted from you was who you are, and the Salisbury Association, and the Grove, and what you just talked about. I think it's wonderful.
Well, these are the kinds of things, but I think the basic fact is that the town hasn't changed too much. It is, to me, a very important aspect.
Thank you.